Good morning. Thank you so much for coming back to the show. I'm Twanda Black, your host. Joining me this morning, Dr. Bernita Robinson. She is CEO and founder of Proverbial Peace Revived Ministries. Good morning to you, Dr. Bernita.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about, especially in the church hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to wonder, okay, what's church hurt? It says a lot of different things.
Yes.
But a lot of times we can describe them simply as the walking wounded.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. The walking wounded. And a lot of people, they don't even realize that they are wounded. And that's why it undermines destiny. And I've done a lot of people watching in my day. And done a lot of research lately, especially because one of the questions, and you know this, that everybody's asking, what's my purpose?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I know there's more, but what is the more? You have a talk that you give called The More, and I love it.
Right.
But what is the more for me?
Mm-hmm.
And people just don't know how to get to that more, to that purpose, to that quote-unquote place of destiny. And I found that most of it is because they have a wound that they've not allowed yet to heal.
You know, and I think about this, and my pastor preaches about, can you take an insult for a miracle?
Mm.
I think that a lot of times we're too sensitive. If somebody says something to you, or if you don't get picked for something, or
mm-hmm.
somebody doesn't speak to you, or somebody doesn't hug you, or you didn't get the right seat, you're wounded.
Preach, girl.
And so, is that wounded? Is that just being too sensitive?
I think it's all encompassed in the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll find that people who are, quote, and I call them the walking wounded,
mm-hmm.
people who are wounded and don't know it, they have these triggers.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what your triggers are, you will be doomed to they say the walking wounded or walking in woundedness is a cycle.
Mm.
You don't know what your triggers are, so anything could trigger your wound.
Wow.
It's like having a scar on your hand, and you know how much you've got to use your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So you might put a Band-Aid on the scar on your hand, but you've got to wash your hands. You wash your hands probably 6, 7, 8, 10 times a day. So you're constantly washing your hand with that Band-Aid. That Band-Aid is constantly getting weak and coming off.
Right.
So if you don't replace the Band-Aid with the right process,
mm-hmm.
that Band-Aid is going to continuously come off. If you want that wound on your hand to heal, a place where you're constantly having water, the wash is constantly going on, you're constantly using it, you can't give it time to rest all by itself, you're going to have to do a process. You've got to put some ointment on that thing. You've got to put a Band-Aid, but then you've got to bandage it.
Mm-hmm.
And if
mm-hmm.
you don't do it the right way, that wound will never heal.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Our woundedness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't think about it because it's there. It's just part of us, and we
yeah.
just go about our day. But anything, it could be a look, a smell, a sight, a sound, a color.
And some of it comes from most of it, I would say, probably comes from our childhood.
You better believe that.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
where it comes from.
Yeah.
And because it's been there so long,
mm.
it's been a part of us so long.
Wow.
And even people say it, you know, in the church, oh, that's just the way she is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
well, mother's kind of mean. Oh, Shana, she's like that with everybody. But why is she like that?
And that doesn't mean she can't change.
Girl, if I was with you, I'd give you a high five. Just because something has been with us a long time
mm-hmm.
does not mean it needs to be with us going forward. Because those unhealed wounds are the foundation of so many. I would say 90% of us know we're meant to do more than we're doing.
Yes.
Live greater than we're living.
Absolutely.
Be more at peace than we are at peace. Be more in God's kingdom than we are. Do more in God's kingdom than we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But because we've had that wound so long and it's such an entrenched part of us, something hinders, and it's that wound.
Mm.
So we've got to get over this woundedness. It's time for us to stand up and be a nation dedicated and committed to what God told us to do.
Yes.
Do you see what's happening in the world?
Oh, yes.
It's going haywire quick. We have been forced to accept that we must accept homosexuality in every state
mm-hmm.
because the Supreme Court says so. Who let that happen?
And now marriage. We did.
Us Christians?
Yes, we did.
We let them take prayer out of schools, and our
mm-hmm.
schools became war zones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now they're taking prayer out of government. They're taking prayer out of your right. They're now having to have special laws to protect pastors from having to marry gay couples.
If they don't want to.
If they don't want to.
Yeah.
We have got, and it's all because we're not standing up in the
asleep.
Body of Christ.
We say we're the body of Christ is sleeping.
We are.
Yeah, we're sleeping.
And we're sleeping because we're wounded.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for the walking wounded to stop it.
Yeah.
It's time to get it together and walk in wholeness, healness, and walk into your ordained purpose and destiny.
You know, I have to laugh. I was at a church, and the pastor and his wife assigned me to work with a particular woman. The woman was mean, just mean. And they knew it. I didn't know. I, you know, didn't really know. And so came back the first report, and they were chuckling
mm-hmm.
about it. And I said, what's funny? They said, how's it going with Sister So-and-so? I'm like, we're getting the job done. Yeah, but how's it really going? I mean, I said, oh, do you mean her attitude, her behavior? It's what you expected. It's what you're laughing about.
So they already knew.
They already knew. And they say, oh, well, you know, we just wanted to see how you were going to handle it because you're always so calm. And I said, I'm going to remain peaceful. I'm going to remain peaceful. I said, but here's the thing. I said, you guys need to minister to her and figure out where her broken pieces are.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to help her put it back together again, because that's her issue.
Is that
she, and she was broken. She was seriously broken in a past relationship and how her mother raised her.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother raised her hard and without love. And that's how she raised her children. Her children didn't like her.
Wow.
Didn't understand her because she never really shared, you know, how she was raised or anything. So nobody was really helping her. They just accepted that she was mean as a snake.
Wow.
You know?
And these were people in the church.
Amen. At the pastor. Mm-hmm.
And we accept.
Yep.
And, you know, and hear me well, audience. We accept people's brokenness as who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we respond to them that way. We have got to get to a point of understanding. Sometimes that's our brokenness.
Yes.
When we accept others' brokenness and we want to judge them and laugh and
mm-hmm.
You know, identify and call names, a lot of that is us. You may be among the walking wounded.
Absolutely.
If you don't know how to respond to in a godly way to others who are wounded.
Mm-mm. So what exactly does that look like? I mean, we're talking about, you know, attitudes and some character stuff and whatever, but a walking wounded person, what does that really look like? Because that could be me.
It manifests in so many ways.
Yeah.
If you have hate for anything or anybody, you are a walking wounded. It manifests promiscuity.
Mm-hmm.
Promiscuous people are seeking something
yes.
that they're missing.
Yes.
The walking wounded. Anger. Now, understand, anger can be positive because God tells you there's a time to be angry.
Right.
But see, positive anger leads you to do positive things for God's in God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But negative anger lashes out. Negative anger hurts. Negative anger targets to hurt just like you're hurting. Bitterness, sexual sin, self-hate and self-denial. That means somebody has made you dislike something about yourself. They said something
mm-hmm.
to you. It could be your weight. It could be
mm-hmm.
your skin color.
Mm-hmm.
It could be your hair. It could be your height. It could be anything that someone has said such negative things about you that you hate that in yourself. Unable to enjoy life. And when you see others enjoying it, it irritates you to no end. And I have it all the time. Oh, everybody can't be that happy. What you so happy about?
Right.
Well, you know, maybe life.
Oh, it can't be that great.
Oh, it can't be that great.
Yeah, you can't be smiling every night. I see you in the morning. This lady said she couldn't stand me one time. She said, I really can't stand you. She was kind of laughing, but she meant it. And I was like,
oh, yeah, she meant it.
I was like, okay, why? Did I do something to you? You're just always smiling and always so happy and positive. Life is not that great.
That's the key to her woundedness.
Yeah,
something
yeah.
has happened in her life that she's projecting on everybody else.
Oh, my goodness. That was so funny. I was like,
that is hilarious. And that happens
said,
all the time.
You. I can't stand you. It's like, wow.
Easily frustrated. Apparently, your smile was one of her triggers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not knowing what your triggers are, but you can be having a wonderful day, otherwise, well, when you can have a wonderful day, wounded people very seldom have wonderful days. But a day can be going by uneventful, and just something happens, and all of a sudden, your mood shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Something has triggered a mood shift because something has triggered that wound, and you didn't even know it. Emotionally disconnected. I find this a lot in women who say, I want to be married, but...
Yeah.
Men who are seeking wives, but they always go to the clubs looking for these wives.
Mm-hmm.
You want what you emotionally really can't handle, so you really push away the thing that you really know you need.
Right, right.
So you know you want a wife, and you know good and well you ain't going to find a wife in a club. Let's be real. Okay?
I told the young man that one Sunday he called me and said, I'm looking for a wife. And I said, really? I said, so what are you looking for? And he ran it all down. I was like, okay, so what do you bring to the table? And he ran that all down. So I said, where are you looking? He said, in the club. I just fell out laughing. He said, what's funny? I said, dude, come on, dude.
Did you tell him, Twana?
Yeah, I told him. He actually asked me why. Why couldn't he find his wife in the club?
Wow.
And I told him, you know what? On Humbug, you might find somebody in the club who's looking for what you're looking for, but not really.
Mm-mm.
You know?
It's and it funny. Won't be lasting.
No, it won't last. And that's
it
what
won't
I told
be
him.
Lasting.
It wouldn't last. Before you know it, you'll be back in the club and she'll be back
mm-hmm.
in the club.
So, yeah. And probably hating each other.
Uh-huh. Really?
Because the roller coaster will have taken each other down.
Oh, my goodness.
That emotional disconnection, also, you'll get someone who fits. I mean, I guarantee you, if someone came with his ideal definition that he gave you,
mm-hmm.
perfect in every way based on what he gave you, he would find some way to push her away.
Yes.
That's what the emotionally disconnected do.
Mm-hmm.
God would bring something in their path for them to see what the possibilities are, but that very thing, they push away. I did it in college a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was so wounded that good guys, I pushed away.
Yeah.
Guys I should not connect to, those I connected to.
Right.
People pleasers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Emotionally wounded people need such validation that they forget that the only validation is through God.
Mm-hmm.
So they start to try to make other people happy.
Oh, yeah.
The thing about people pleasing, you'll please some of the people some of the time. You'll disappoint most of the people most of the time, and you will make yourself miserable.
Yes, and you'll never please God.
You will never please God
Mm-mm.
pleasing other folk.
Mm-mm. It just won't happen.
And they live a duplicitous life.
Yeah.
What they are in front of folk is very seldom what they are behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they hurt people behind closed doors.
Wow.
These are your abusers,
mm-hmm.
your molesters,
mm-hmm.
your violent people, your alcoholics, and I mean dire alcoholics, your drug addicted. In front of people, they look absolutely wonderful.
Perfect.
Behind closed doors, and if the family is behind the door with them, their families are suffering.
Oh, yeah. When I was a youth pastor for a couple of years, the stories the kids would tell me about their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they're perfect parents in church.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, don't believe that.
Yes.
They are not that.
Wow.
Wearing
that
and
mask.
It was so hard, you know, ministering to the kids. And what do you do with the parents in that case? Because they're really hurting the entire family.
Mm-hmm. But this is where the church has to step up their game. You know, I was watching a program the other night, and God brought to my spirit, we are so busy with our own petty lives,
mm-hmm.
that we are missing every opportunity to minister.
That's right.
We're so busy looking at Sister Sue and leading that song and saying, oh, well, I should be leading that song.
That should be my solo. Mm-hmm.
We're so busy watching Brother Paul look at Sister Sally because then mad because he's not looking at me in my new dress.
Oh, no. What about this one? And somebody just said this to me the other day, and I was... Really? That somebody was sitting in their seat.
Oh.
And I said, is it really that important?
Wow.
Y'all got 1,500 seats in your sanctuary.
But somebody's sitting in your one seat.
And I touched her on the shoulder and I said, can you really say to her, it's not that important?
Mm.
Please. Because that's petty. And they're taking their eyes off Christ, talking about a seat in the church that don't even belong to them.
And what about this, Tawanda? Maybe God set her in that seat that you normally sit in
because
he wanted you to see her hurt. And maybe if you had just hugged her a dam would have broken.
Mm-hmm.
An overflow would have taken place. Her hurt would have come out, and she could have had a moment of healing right
yes,
then.
Yes.
If you had just gotten past her being in your seat.
Oh, my gosh.
And saw the spirit of her broken woundedness.
I was just shocked about that. I said, really? I'm sitting in the back seat going, what? What you
oh,
just
Oh, my
say?
Goodness.
Real? A seat?
But that's what's happening.
Yeah, I know.
The enemy has our minds so focused on me, my mind,
mm-hmm.
that we're missing the fact that every opportunity, every encounter you have, is an opportunity to minister to somebody.
Yes.
Every time you're so me, my, we're missing that maybe right down the street,
mm-hmm.
one of your neighbors is being brutalized and beaten
That's right.
every day.
That's right.
Maybe that woman right sitting right next to you while you're focusing on somebody singing and getting your song and doing what you need to be doing, maybe
you.
That woman sitting right
mm-hmm.
next to you
mm-hmm.
has to deal with a son or a daughter
mm.
who is dying.
That's
in
right.
the streets,
right.
on drugs,
right.
alcohol. You don't know because you're so busy in your woundedness
mm-hmm.
and your misperceptions of what Christianity is and what it means to be a child of God, looking at something that does not matter.
Mm.
But see, that's what the walking wounded does.
Mm.
They look at things that don't matter because those are sometimes the only thing they feel they can control.
Okay.
They don't want to get outside of that brokenness. Now, they're miserable in their brokenness, but that brokenness is what they know. It's a comfort zone.
Just fighting. I want to get out of this. How do I do it?
Oh,
how do
my
I
God.
Do it? So how do they get to the healing and wholeness that only Christ can bring, but that he can bring it through other people? Maybe you, maybe me, maybe mm-hmm. somebody else, if you're doing your part and you're listening to God, you're listening to the Spirit of God. Because God will tell you to touch some people that you would be like, huh?
Yes, he will take you out of your comfort zone, won't he?
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. I've had to console mamas in the store, in the grocery store, and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, you just do what you got to do.
And sometimes it's going to be somebody that looks real hard.
Yes, yes.
Looks unapproachable.
Yep. Might not even smell right.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm.
You might know that they're living a life that you know violates God's principles.
Right.
But see, somebody's got to touch that broken spirit.
That's right. That's right.
But you can't touch that broken spirit because you're too busy looking at your own mess.
So where do we go? What do we do?
You've got to start here. Every one of us, every day, even those who think you got it right. I mean, I do. Every day I self-assess. Lord, am I doing what you told me to
mm-hmm.
do?
Mm-hmm.
Am I aligned with where you told me I need to go? Every day you need to assess, where are you in your life? Are you close to where God wants you to be? Because, see, until you get to a state of awareness,
mm.
you will never be able to identify if you have a wound, what's the source of that wound, and what triggers those wounds.
So let me say this to you, that for me, when something hits me wrong, I stop. And I say, okay, why
there you
did
go.
That hit me wrong? Why am I offended?
There you go.
And I sit there and I examine and I pray because I want to know and I want to get it right. I want to get it out of me. I don't want to live with it. I don't want to walk with it. I don't want to carry it. I don't
yes.
want to do any of those things. I've been there.
Yes.
And it's heavy.
The spirit of offense is one of the number one reasons where people don't get their wholeness and their healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you just hit the nail on the head, Tawanda. If something hits you wrong, you need to first think, okay, spirit of offense,
yes.
where is it coming from?
Yes.
It's coming from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But see, most of us in our woundedness, we are emotionally crippled.
Mm.
The goal is get to emotional wholeness and intelligence. You should not be allowing anything outside of God to trigger your emotions to the negative.
That's right.
If something does, that's where you need to say, okay, I need a moment of awareness
mm-hmm.
here. Where is this coming from? What is going on? And I promise you, if you try to answer that question yourself, you're going to be lost.
It's going to be messed up. Yeah.
Honey, will they say jacked up from the floor?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The only way you can get answers, and this is one of the longest parts of this process, the stage one, awareness. Figure out what's going on. Identify your triggers. You have to get into your word. And I know I say this often when we're talking about things, but ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, you cannot get on a path of destiny and purpose if you don't know the person who made you. You have got to get into your word. Even if you start with a few minutes a day, start getting into that word because, see, you need to be able to see yourself like God sees you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. On this path, too, if you need some help seek help. I hope you have a good relationship with your pastor. If you don't know a counselor or family counselor or anything, just start with your pastor. I'm going through some things. You have any recommendations of somebody I can talk to? Perhaps your pastor may have a degree in family counseling himself. Many do, many pastors do. But one, get into your word. Two, get some help if you need it. Some of our wounds are so deep, we can't even begin to identify
them.
That's
right. We don't even know where to start.
We don't know where to start.
You know you're wounded.
Yes.
But you just, what is it? Something's nagging me. What is that thing?
And sometimes you can't dig deep enough. You don't have a shovel to dig that deep. We have a young lady who comes to our woman-to-woman keeping it real. She knows something happened in her childhood. And you know, we've been very blessed in that we've been able to take women to the foot of the cross.
Yes.
And they've been able to identify where that wound is. But as long as she's been coming, she's yet to identify that wound. And it still brings tears to her eyes when we talk about getting to the core of hurt. She cries every time. She needs to get some help.
Yes.
So if you need help, it's not a stigma unless you attach a stigma to
it.
That's right. It's nothing bad unless you perceive it as such. But stage one is awareness. You have got to get to the point where, why do I hate women and I'm a woman? Why do I say I can't befriend women and I'm a woman? Why do I look at good-looking men and go, he think he's something, and I haven't ever heard a word come out of his mouth yet?
He think he cute.
Ain't heard him say nothing. And I meant that his bonnet glass ain't heard him say nothing. Why do I look at a woman who seems to have it all together and say she's stuck up?
Yeah.
Why do I look at a woman of God who is preaching or speaking the gospel and say she thinks she all that? Where are these thoughts coming from? Why do I go to work and my first thought is I need to stab her in the back to get where I want to go?
Yeah.
Why do I look at that child automatically, oh, that's a rotten kid? Something is driving those thoughts. And what you need to do is stop for just a minute. Don't be emotionally immature and react on your emotion.
Right.
Stop and say, okay, wait a minute. This does not feel right. Because if you ever monitor your emotions, when you have those thoughts, you feel worse, not better. That's stage one. Stage two, you have got to get, once you identify your triggers, you've got to get to what's called ignition. You got to ignite action. Okay, now you have an idea of where this is coming from. Are you okay with it being there? Are you okay with living a mediocre life, half doing, half stepping, half succeeding? Or are you ready to have everything God called you to do and have everything God called you to be? So ignition is this. I've got to ignite my thinking on a different path. So I'm looking at that child. Oh, that's a right. No, that's a child.
Right.
Okay, so if he's acting out, he's wearing his pants halfway below his butt, he's cursing, he's got attitude, I don't want to say anything to him, but God got my eyes on him, so maybe I'm supposed to say something to him. I'm looking at this woman who is going out with every man she meets and bragging about what she did last night every Monday I come into work. Perhaps God is tuning my ears to this because I'm supposed to do something other than judge her.
That's right.
So ignition is I've got to ignite a change in my thinking pattern, and I've got to ignite myself to action. Now, this is a stage where you're going to have to just let it go because it's probably going to come with a lot of tears. Because self-awareness brings sometimes self-incrimination, self-beating yourself up, all of those things. You got to push that out. Let yourself cry. Let yourself second-guess yourself for a season. Okay, why did I do that? What made me do that? Why am I like this? It's a breakdown. You got to break it down to build it up. And then that third stage, and this is the important part, you've got to make a shift. Awareness, ignition, shifting. In stage three, that's when you have that aha moment. When you say, okay, I've been in my word. I've self-assessed. I've gotten the help I need. I see how I got off course. See, because all of us have a path. Ephesians 2 and 10 tells you were born for destiny. So if you were born for destiny, how in the world you got where you are now? You got off path.
Yes.
That was the enemy's goal, and he succeeded for a season.
From day one, that's his goal.
That's his goal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you going to let him keep you on that wrong path? Or now that you've ignited a new mindset, you've ignited a new way of thinking, are you going to allow your life to not go in a new direction? It's time to shift and say enough is enough. Mm-hmm. And sometime this stage is going to come with you getting into a place of quiet.
Yes, yes.
I often tell the ladies that sometimes you have to be selfish for a moment, mm-hmm. to be selfless for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those times where you have to say, you know what, I got to shut it down. I'm shutting down the gossipers. I'm shutting down the phone. I'm not going to watch. What's that show that everybody's watching? Look at it on TV that everybody's doing everything wrong. I can't even
power.
Think of
it.
What
is
was
it,
that?
Is it power?
There you go. And all these godforsaken reality shows, shut it down. All this negative stuff, you need to shut it down for a minute. If you really want to shift into a path that's going to take you down the path of being whole and healed.
It's not easy.
You got to, exactly.
Yeah.
You got to shut the negative down for a minute so God can start infusing you with the positive so you can heal and look like a person of wholeness and purpose.
And let me just say this. During that time when you're trying to make the shift, you will fail. But you got to pick yourself back up, repent, and keep it moving. Because if you get back into, oh, this is never going to work. I failed again.
That's
I don't
right.
care how many times you fail. It doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't. But isn't that that's why we got God?
Absolutely.
If we could pick ourselves up, then God would have just created us and kept moving.
Yeah, but he didn't.
He gave us a comforter.
Right.
He left something here to help us when we fall. But the Bible tells you daily you have to put on the whole armor.
You sure do. You got to fight every day. And when you're trying to change, take it from somebody who did it. I had to do it in my 20s and my 30s. Well, this is my 30s, I think. Or my 20s. And I had to fight. I had to fight to come out.
Yeah.
I had to fight every day. I had to fight my thoughts. I had to fight my environment. I had to fight every day to become who God wanted me to be and to start walking in. I'm telling you what I know.
Yes.
It was a fight.
Yes. And each one of these stages is going to be a fight.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fight to face, because you've got to really look at the awareness. You got to look in the mirror. And sometimes what you see, look, after you take that mask off, sometimes what you see looking back at you, you're going to want to balk, because, see, sometimes people see what you don't.
Right.
When you get to ignition, your thoughts, when you realize the things that come to your mind, because ignition is a conscious thing. You think about everything you think about, every thought, and you're going to realize some of your thoughts are just detrimental.
Yes.
To others and to you.
Yes.
But when you get to this shift and you have to physically make that thing happen, wow. Stumbling is going to be a natural paradigm every day. Falling?
Absolutely.
Your knees are going to get scraped. Your hands are going to get scraped. Sometimes your face is going to get knocked. But if you truly want to see destiny revealed in your life, purpose revealed, God manifesting powerful things, you are going to have to make these steps a part of your reality, because there is so much out there for you.
Absolutely.
God is just waiting for you to ask, God, I'm ready. Here am I. Use me. That's all he's waiting for.
He wants to heal the walking
wounded.
Yes,
he does.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Bree, we have a woman-to-woman coming up next month.
Yes, we do. We meet the second Saturday of every month at a local restaurant in Stockbridge, Georgia. And we are beginning a new series. We just finished our love series. It was awesome. We're going to start a new series, and it's from drought to destiny. And we're going to be addressing these kinds of questions. I know there's more for me.
Yeah.
How do I make it happen? How do I get there? Because if those questions are on your mind, how do I get there? Who am I? What am I supposed to do? That means you're in a drought right now. We're going to be talking over the next few months, probably for the rest of this year, on how to get out of your drought and move into your destiny. And we'd love to have you join us.
All right, and they can call you or reach out by email.
You can. Our website is www.proverbialpeace, that's P-R-O-V-E-R-B-I-A-L-P-E-A-C-E, one word, proverbialpeace.org. Or please feel free to call me at 404-510-7880. Either way, you can get your name on our mailing list, and we'll get you all the information about our meetings. We meet from 9 to 11:30. Every second Saturday, and we have a blast.
We do. We absolutely do. Bernita, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your wisdom. Dr. Bernita Robinson, the walking wound that God wants to heal you. Thank you for joining us.
Bye, Atlanta.